Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Losiata la masandali o colia he. She thre she tiri mokiata la mokoria si. Kandali atrasa katashi tili meshinda la mokoria. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Father, we ask you, Father, to have your way within this service right now, Father. Speak to your people. Open up ears to hear. Father, some have stoppers, Lord, to not hear what the Spirit of God has said. But Father, help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the Bible says if you give a tongue, there should be an interpretation. Well, while you're shallowing the word, I'm going to give you an interpretation. I don't like somebody to be putting the word back at me. I'm called in defense of the word of God. And I know the word has said that prophecy is subject unto the prophets. Amen. And I know there's a language in prayer, a prayer language, building up your innermost faith to get in the mind of the Lord and the thoughts of God. Because sometimes God's dealing with me. I was going to call on Brother Charles tonight. And I'm going to get him back over here very soon and give him an opportunity to minister. I always look forward to hearing him. But the Lord had another direction to go here this evening. This is His church. We're His people. Amen. So we follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. We're going to go into some word tonight and some scriptures, trusting the Lord that He'll have His way. Got a good report. I had Brother Jeff stand in for Brother Van the other evening. He was really dealing with a real dark area and a real struggle and a real fight. Brother got down to a place. And he was just frazzled and at wit's end, so to speak, for expression. And I told y'all we'd get a report when I prayed Sunday. I really felt the virtue of the Lord move. Went into a little girl, Brother Emmanuel's little girl, up here in the altars. I felt such a power and anointing. What was for? That's God's people. Amen. He knows. And I'm telling you, there was a very powerful spirit of virtue that departed from me for that little girl. My God, I mean, I was like, man, I tell you what, I was rejoicing in the Lord, man. And then as we prayed for Van, you know, other people say, well, you prayed for many people. Many people touched Jesus, but the virtue, when he felt to leave his body, said, who touched me? And they said, come on, you're being basically flooded by people, you know, and they've got people all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? But see, somebody touched him. Yeah. Amen. And the thing is I've known people that didn't have faith and the virtue went forth for God to just show his kindness, his mercy. I've seen God heal dope addicts and drunks and things of such. I'm talking about get a complete deliverance and a healing. Who are you to find fault with God if he has one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? And I've seen some mighty, powerful, anointed men of God suffer. And you say, you never seen God's anointed suffer. Well, just go read about Elisha. We said it the other day. He had a double portion. Did anybody believe the Bible here? Amen. Did Elisha have a double portion where Elijah had? And it said he fell sick and died. Amen. So don't tell me the afflictions don't come to God's anointed. Amen. And this Pentecostal move out here in this world, they think, it's a lack of faith. Let me tell you something. If God chooses you to suffer for his name's sake, to glorify his name. You say, how can you glorify his name in suffering? Same way Job did. He showed something to people. Hey, it isn't because my bills are paid. It isn't because I'm strong and healthy. It isn't because everything's going my way. Man, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and I'm going to praise Him. He's my Lord. He's my God. And when you can only praise Him when you feel good, and you can only praise Him when your bills are paid, you ain't got nothing. Amen. Our worship with Him is not relative to this world. It ain't relative to nothing this world's got. And if it is, you're shallow and you're going to find out it's not going to work. Amen. And I knew preachers who wouldn't wear glasses. So they showed lack of faith. I'm thinking, well, praise God. And they went around and they couldn't see nothing. But they didn't have no glasses on. You know, like, you know, the whole church left. They got tired of hearing preaching. They didn't even know what he kept preaching. No. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all love the Lord? All right, you can be seated. We're going to go right into the Word of God here this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. You guys are pretty blessed that I can't sing. And sometimes you're not. When I'm singing, you're not so blessed. But what I'm trying to say, you're blessed that I can't, because sometimes, man, I'd just sing me a song if I could. Amen. That old boy used to sing for Brother George sometimes. And he'd say, I feel good, good, good. He sounded pretty rough, man, but he felt good about it. Amen. So it ain't always how you sound. Amen. But praise the Lord. I shared with you a long time ago, one of my favorite singers when I first got saved was an old man. I don't know if he knew what a tune was or a key, but I know one thing. He knew some words to some songs, and he sang with all his might. And he sang them from his heart because he was thankful that God set him free. He was so thankful that God helped him and set him free. Amen. I got a couple things the Lord spoke to me to possibly share. I wrote down a scripture reference here. Let me see if I can find it. You know, brethren, sometimes the very most simplistic things in God are the most important things. Something that is so simple it doesn't seem like a revelation to you. And you don't esteem it as a revelation. And the reason you don't, because it's never been revealed, the importance. Some of the most simple things in Christ are the most overlooked. You know, the Bible said, despise not the little things. But some of these things are so overlooked, and we're looking out for some deep mysteries, and we're stumbling over the simplistic things that would bring such beautiful revelation. And revelation is a knowledge, brethren. Yes, it is. And people perish from a lack of knowledge. They die because of a lack of knowledge. But then yet, so many people think they have revelation because they have knowledge. You can have knowledge without revelation, but you can't have revelation without knowledge. You can have works without faith, but it's impossible to have faith without works. Amen? So the thing is that knowledge will bring a false sense of satisfaction to a man thinking that he has what he's looking for. But the Bible said you could understand all the mysteries and have not charity, it profits you nothing. So I'd happen to say charity is a greater thing to desire, wouldn't you think? And when you get charity, you got Him. Because if you don't have charity, you don't have His Spirit. Because His Spirit is the Spirit of charity. Amen? So when I don't see charity in a man, amen? And we could pick and choose our charity. Well, I'm going to be good to Pete. You know why? Because Pete's good to me and I like him. But brethren, you ain't even found God yet. I love Brother Melvin, man. I'm going to be good to him because I like him. You still haven't found God. Which I should have those things because they're my brethren. I should have love for them. But brethren, the Bible said to have love for the heathen. And when you start exercising the ability to love people that hate you, now you're exercising a spiritual sense. Amen? The other day we was speaking with some brethren and some, and I said, hey, you know, faith doesn't come in until your part's exhausted. But a lot of times we want to pray and we call it faith. And we want to say, oh man, I got great faith, and we're praying. But the only reason we're praying is because we're lazy. We're praying because we're too lazy to do it, and God's not even going to get, yeah, He isn't even hearing your prayer. And when you've done all you can do, if your strength falls short, if your strength and your ability fall short, faith is going to come in at that, and He's going to give you strength through faith. He's going to give you wisdom and understanding through His Word, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge. Amen. It's going to bring a revelation to you how to accomplish. See, that's where faith comes in. But you sit and pray for God to move, and you haven't moved. How many times we've heard these things in here, but how come we're not applying them and listening? I keep finding this lacking in people. And I'm going to keep on because I'm thinking, this is one of the greatest revelations ever, brethren. You've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. But when we could quote that and quote that and quote that, and I see a lack of love one for another because we have too much despise. Too much, we despise one another. We're in competition one with another. We want to be better than the other. We're looking for position. We're looking at because that's where we're trained in this world, in the carnal mind. But brethren, when you start to really, truly come into a revelation to esteem your brother greater than yourself, you've come to one of the greatest revelations. You're looking for prosperity and blessings. When you forget about looking for prosperity for yourself and start looking for somebody else's, when you really come to knowing what prosperity is and blessings. You know, Brother Pike, I'd been trained as a young man how to work and how to work hard. You know, I bought my first brand new car when I was a kid, a child. Amen. I bought a home when I was 17 years old. So, man, I've learned to work. I had my own twin-engine airplane when I was 19 years old. Got my multi-engine rating at 17 years old. So, man, I had money and finances and doing things that people didn't do at young ages. I'm flying in heavy aircraft, building heavy time, that people were desiring to do those things. And I was doing those things, but I'll tell you something. Brother Pike rode off in an old van with me one time. And he said, and this van was gotten by faith. The guy just got it, but the Lord spoke to me. And I wanted to think, I said, man, I like this thing. I just bought it. And I said, well, let's do some trading. And I wanted that thing. Well, you know what? There would have been a day that I would look at that thing, what am I going to drive that old piece of junk for? My wife had to upholster it. We did, you know, things. But you know what? God gave it to me. But I told Brother Pike, I got a car for $50. I'd been driving brand new cars. When I showed up at this place, I had two brand new automobiles. Amen. And I was accustomed to that. And now I'm driving some old cars that I got by faith. Not by my hands. Not by my skill. Not by leaving the house of the Lord lay waste and going out working and making money. I had opportunities. When I got to that place, I had business opportunities coming in my face. But they were going to pull me away. See, the Lord knew that this shepherd of mine had 5 years when I got there. He knew that he had 5 years to train me. And if I would have been out building a business and being an entrepreneur, Pete, I would have been robbed of a lot of time. Yes, I worked while I was there. I worked and made a way. But I sought first the kingdom. I worked around the house of God, making sacrifices. Amen. You know, but the Lord was blessing me and I was seeing. But you see, I came to a revelation that I would rather have a $50 car that was gained by faith in God and trusting Him than have a $50,000 car that I went out and earned by my skills and abilities and my expertise. And I seen both worlds. And I started building and exercising another world. A lot could be said there. But I'm sharing a personal testimony, yes. But there was some things that I had to start making a change, a great adaption for. A man with skills and abilities is hard to find into the kingdom. You say, Brother Rob, you got men with skills and abilities here. And I say, and continually on them to not lean to the arm of the flesh and put faith and trust in God. If you have much, much is required. You say, what is it? That's talking about much understanding. I say, I understand that. But you know, when you have great gains, much is more is required of you. God has expectation of you. Amen. When you're doing the same thing that you've done and you're getting gluttony and fat, and not talking about being a sweat hog, I'm talking about fat and gluttony in your understandings or in your things and your provisions, you're just going to bring the wrath of God and the judgment of God down on your head. He'll purge you. He'll bring you down. Find out where your heart's at. When he asked that rich man to sell everything he had and give it to the poor and follow him, that man, if he would have done that, God would have raised him back up and made him one of the most wealthy men ever recorded in biblical history from the time these things started being recorded in a collection of books we call the Bible. Amen? I'm telling you, that's the way God works. Let's go over here to Colossians 3rd chapter. If then we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth. Right there, boys, a big message. Boy, I tell you, man, I can feel the Spirit of God, amen. And that's a big message. But how many of us have our affections on this world, on the cares of this world, the prestige of this world, the pride of this world, the business of this world? We're all guilty, brother. And you could sit there and say, well, I'm better than this guy over here. And I'm, we're all guilty, man. So just quit trying to look and think that it's going to take the heat off you by seeing that your brother's worse. And when you're looking at your brother worse, it proves that you don't have the Holy Ghost. And when you feel better about it because somebody else is a bigger failure than you, that's another perfect proof you ain't got God's Spirit. Because I promise you, when you have God's Spirit, you're gonna love the brethren, and you'll know you pass from death unto life. And if you love your brother, amen. If your wife is hungry and you really love her, what are you going to do? You're going to feed her, ain't you? Amen. So you say, I love the brethren, but then yet you use them for a stepping stone to get another higher plateau when they're down. Quick, the Bible said, like a shark, quick after blood, you know. Bible said he hates these things. You see your brother in a fault, and you're going to be the first one to try to buy up his car because he can't afford it. You're going to be the first one to take advantage of his spoils because we're greedy dogs in our first birth. Well, come on, Brother Rob, you're being harsh. You're that's what you need to be, is harsh on your first birth. You need to be harsh. You need to recognize that thing laying in your members that is continually your evil. It's your enemy. You say, oh, man, I'm a good old guy, man. I like people and I do for people. You're lost. You're lost because the Bible said there ain't none good. And if there's anything good, it's Christ in you. But you keep bringing it to yourself. Amen. And we got to take it to him. There's only one good thing, and that's Jesus and him alone. Amen. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, how are you thinking? Are you guys waiting on this right here? The coming of the Lord in the clouds? Is that when the world is waiting for Christ to appear? Is that when you're waiting for Christ to appear? If you're paying attention, he's here now. If you're looking right now, God is with us. Amen. And we're going to go into some more scriptures. I'm going to move you around here in a little bit. And we're going to possibly help with this a little bit. It shouldn't be a revelation, but it's so misunderstood, mislooked at. While you're looking for God in another place, he's right in your midst. Amen. And he's in your brother. Amen. And the way you treat your brother is what you do to God. Man, I wouldn't steal from God. Well, you're a liar. You've done robbed him. You say, oh, you talking about tithing, brother? I'm talking about so much more than that. Amen. That's just a little easy place. Amen. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members. But not you. Please, brethren, don't pay no attention to verse 5. You don't need to mortify your men because you're a good person. Oh, and you're polished. Oh, and you're so good. You just love everybody and you do anything for anybody. So don't you mortify. It's talking to every one of us. Amen. Your first birth with its very best is filthy rags. Your very best righteousness is filthy rags, and you need to get that thing out of there. What do you do with filthy rags? You put them on your dinner table and hang out with them? You discard them, don't you? Come on, isn't that what you do with them? Praise the Lord, amen. Y'all quiet tonight. I feel good, good, good. All right. Thank you, Sister Melinda. She's one that got in with me there on that. You know, some of us have to bust through once in a while, man. But some of you just feeling good all the time because you got all of the fleshly things taken care of. But you know what? Sometimes you got to really feel good. Amen. And breakthrough. When everything seems to be coming against you, you get a breakthrough. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which, okay, now listen, brethren. We read these things and we're looking out here for the heathen, ain't we? But all of these sayings laying in the members of your first birth and the first mind, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. So the first thing you do is rend the veil and you separate yourself from this. But he tells you to take up your cross every day and mortify. So these things got to come to a revelation that they're in your members. Amen. And maybe you've grown in the grace and knowledge of God and you've mortified and the things quit coming around because you keep them killed out and you don't give them no place to operate in your life. But still, it's because of an effort, an action, an application of faith from a believing heart, from somebody fighting the good fight of faith. It didn't just happen because God chose you. Hey, now listen to me. You want to talk about your election? It's because he chose you before the world ever was. But you want to talk about transformation? It's because you're a good soldier and you fought the good fight of faith. Are you with me? It's because you're fighting and pressing. And you're not going to let the devil take away from you. You're not going to let him rob you. You're not going to let him cheat you. You're not going to let him put his thoughts in your mind. Because he says in the word to cast them thoughts down. In which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these. Anger. Let's have a prayer meeting right now. Wrath. Another prayer meeting. Praise God. Help me, Jesus. Malice. Blaspheming. See, we take blaspheming and we go over talking about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. We don't think we have those things in our heart and in our spirit. But let me tell you something. It's laying in the heart of man. Amen. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lie not one to another. Sometimes we're so guilty of lying, but we don't consider ourselves a liar. Now listen, you could possibly, through ignorance, maybe misrepresent or lie to somebody. And I'm not going to call you a liar for that. Okay, but if you continue on with the spirit of error, then you become a liar. Okay, and you keep on doing it, then you're going to be numbered with a liar. Some people have troubles believing them when they speak. But let me tell you something. I tell mothers and fathers this. You get a phone call on the phone, he's not here. Your kids are watching that. Well, that's not really a lie. Dad didn't want to talk to this guy, so mama said he's not here. You just trained your kid to go to hell. And you wonder when they're burning in hell, why? And it's because you just trained them that. It'd be a simple thing if it's in your spirit that you can't lie. Say, he's not available right now. Can I take a message? I'll have him call you at his convenience. Wouldn't that be much better than just making an excuse because it's real easy? But we do it with bosses and we don't call it lie. We punch out time clocks. When we quit working 2 hours ago, that makes us a thief. I told you when you turn in time for a man, because he's got a lot of money and he's doing okay, and you think, well, you know, hey, he ain't paying me enough anyway, and you turn in time, and you get a little bit of padded books or a little bit of this and that, and you get that money, it ain't no different than going over and picking his lock or busting his window out, going in and taking off his wallet off his dresser in the middle of the night and taking his money out, no different. But you won't consider yourself a thief because we've rocked ourselves to sleep. In a world, the world is taught to steal. They're training them in our schools to steal and to rob and to cheat. Amen? I know you ain't gonna agree with that, but it's happening all the time. You say, well, you're just against everything. I'm against flesh because it destroys you. Amen? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Sometimes we lie, hey, I'll help you tomorrow. You don't show. You say, well, lie would be a strong thing. It just didn't work out. Well, go read the scriptures about the one that told his father he'd help him, and he didn't show up, and the other one said he wouldn't, and he showed up and said, which one was justified? Which one was justified? We know which one was justified. Amen. But sometimes we just say what we think people want to hear, and we're lying is all we're doing. And have put on the new man. How many want that new man on? Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So here's an important part of knowledge right here. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. Okay, now we was reading up here before about some of the things that we're killing out. Now we got to bring some things alive. Do you know that you have to exercise faith? And you got to exercise love, charity, kindness, these things? This is something we got to apply because it's not within our nature, brethren. But when we put on this new mind, we're going to find these things happening in our life. Put therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Mercies. We lack. How come we're so easily to just put people off? God didn't just throw me out. Man, he worked with me. He helped me. He reached down to the uttermost, pulled me out of the mire. I'm not talking about the dope and the drugs, even though I'd done all that ignorance. But he loved me so much, Brother Ed, he pulled me out of a financial business of making money. And I was called myself a Christian. I was preaching the gospel. But I was a businessman on my way to hell and wasn't smart enough to know it. Because I had more concern and love for what I was doing than I did God. And I loved the Lord with all my heart at that time. And he loved me. But I'm telling you something. I took and I had a preeminent thing in my life, and it was my agenda. It was my will, my wishes, and my desires. And everything I'd done for God, I picked and chose it, Brother Melvin. Well, I'll do this. I'll do that. And I was a businessman in mind and heart, so I would make things, and they were prosperous for him, and they were prosperous for me. But I was picking and choosing, and he got sick of that as I grew in the grace and knowledge of God. A woman that's your wife, but she thinks she's smarter than you. And all of a sudden, she's doing things that are good for you and good for your home, good for your children, and it's bringing finances and all those things. You're probably going to stand back. But somewhere, you're going to say, wait a second. This woman's self-willed. She's doing her own thing. But you're a greedy dog, and you're going to just let it go because you're benefiting from it. Amen? Come on now. But somewhere, you say, wait a minute, I don't have no order in my home. Well, let me tell you something. God ain't that way. You call yourself the bride, he's got order. She's under subjection and submission to him. Amen. We're going to get where I'm wanting to go here in just a moment. We're almost there. Amen. Forbearing one another. Let me go back to 12. Put on, therefore, the elect as the elect of God. Put on, therefore. So we're doing something. You know, when you get dressed, it's an action. You got to go put it on, huh? If you just crawl out of your bed and go out the door, it's probably not going to look too good around town, huh? But you got to go put on something, huh? But when you wake up in the morning in your nakedness, before you get before God in prayer, before you talk to the Lord, start transforming your mind and casting down your thoughts, you're going to be stripped off. And you need to put on some things. Amen? Are you listening? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. How many of you find humbleness of mind when you're trying to talk to somebody about the Lord? More so, you're going to show them that they don't know what you know, and they ain't in the right doctrine, and that they're stupid. And all of a sudden, you're going to feel good about it. Because, man, praise God, you're God's anointed, God's elect. Now, see, it sounds harsh, brethren, but I'm telling you, I know men. I'm a man. And all men's hearts are flesh-like, and many times, it's like we forget about the soul, what we're reaching for, and we would rather be right. But I'm going to tell you something. I found a secret. Sometimes when you're right and you let them accuse you of being wrong and you smile and love them anyways when you reach them and you get to them. You think that you're going to be win the argument by proving that you're right. It'll never work because that other one's just as hard-headed as you because they got the same mind you got. Why don't you just suffer down and show some humility and be wrong even when you're not wrong? Sometimes when you're proven wrong, you got so much lack of humility and so much lack of the Spirit of Christ, you won't even confess or apologize. Come on, I know men's hearts well. Well, I've talked to people, man, and I'm thinking, well, you're wrong. You need to apologize to this individual. And I mean, something locks up. I mean, it's like the vocal cords just froze. They're so fleshly that, I mean, this demon spirit's got so much control over even their vocal cords, they can't, like, it won't come out of their mouth. You need to watch for that stuff in your children. When they have a problem apologizing and asking somebody to forgive them, it's a demon spirit that is getting a stronghold in their heart, and it's going to destroy them and kill them. And if you're a mother or a father, you're going to be watching for that. See, I tell you, sometimes it can be so miserable being in the Spirit because you see things that people wink at and laugh at and watch, but I don't see it that way. I see blood and I see hell. I see destruction. Brother Pike said he prayed for God and he took him into hell. And he said, don't ever do that. He said, I can't rest at night. I can't sleep at night. He said, I could see these people in torment and I have to roll out of bed. And he got to a point in his life that he never even went to bed. They said for this last many years, he never one time laid down in his bed because he said, why? I got to get out. And he would lay over a chair and pray for souls, amen, because of what he saw. Maybe some of us need a glimpse of some of that. Maybe we need a glimpse of that person that we so love in hell. Maybe some moms and dads got a picture of their child in hell burning in agony. Maybe they would start thinking, man, I've got to do better. Amen. Amen. We got a great responsibility, church. But what I marvel at so much is that this little life is just for a blink. It's like a vapor. You ever go outside in the cold and you breathe air and this little vapor goes out? Watch it. Come on, don't let your eyes off of it. Oh, it's gone. That's your life. When you take your 100 years and compare it, you got a $100 bill, you think you got something. But let me tell you, go put it over in Trump's bank account. A billionaire, huh? It's going to like, it don't matter. I give that one to the little kid who needs another lollipop. It don't mean nothing. 100 bucks ain't nothing. So your 100, man, might look big to you. He didn't say your life's like a lollipop and you suck on and it's gone. He said like a vapor. It's even faster than the lollipop. Amen? All right. We're getting there. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another.
Amen.
No, it's all me. Amen. No, come on. Do we have troubles forgiving sometimes, saints? We're going to go over to another book here in just a moment. But we had to get through a couple of these things right here. Brethren, these are simple things to say, well, read these things, but we're not applying them. We got another mind in there that's been polished through religion. We've been Western theologized, if that's a word. Western theology. I come across a church in California. And their doctrine, oh gosh, I wish I could remember what they called it, but they called it Western theology of such and such. And it was full of devils. Man, I tell you what, I'd go to that Pentecostal church and the whole church would get up and everybody's speaking in tongues. And while you're walking, and the whole church is walking in circles in two different directions. The whole entire church, I mean everybody. So you may as well get with it. So you're going to be walking around there with them and everybody's talking in tongues. And when old John coming this way, and you going this way, old John, man, he got real loud, boy, when he's getting ready to go by somebody. And it was just like, you know, I could speak in tongues more than you can. I could pray louder than you. I went to prayer with a minister. So we go into church, and we're going to pray. And I mean, this man was screaming. If that's the way he wants to pray, I got no problem with it. But I had to ask him. I said, brother, you think God has a hearing problem? Let me tell you something. You could whisper to God, and when your heart's right with him and you're petitioning his throne, he is tuned in. But you don't have enough volume to penetrate his throne. It's the compassion and the mercy and the love and the heart that he has for you is what's going to give you entrance. The Bible said, raise up your voice like a trumpet. There's a time to raise up our voice. There's a time you might be laying hands on somebody and scream out. I've done it. Y'all have seen it. Amen. But sometimes you could whisper in the ear of that person. And all of a sudden, because you made a contact with the Spirit, you imparted something in their heart that'll change their life forever. Amen. The little simple things. Amen. Let's go on here just for a moment, man. Above all these things, put on charity. Okay, so now we read all these things from above, but it's saying there's something right here above all them. Because you can have these other things without charity and it profits you nothing. So right now, let's take a look at 14. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which Also, you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, brethren, so we're going to, above all these things, we're going to put on charity, the bond of perfectness. Amen? Amen. Now, and the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now let's talk about that peace of God. We're going to go over to another book, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter for a moment. Peace, peace, peace. We don't understand peace. In the late 60s and early 70s, you know, we had peace, brother. Come on, peace, brother. Praise God. Give me another joint. Peace, brother. Peace. A couple little daisies on the car, little Volkswagen bug, man. Everything's cool. You know, peace. They didn't know what peace was. They thought if we got out of Vietnam, that would be peace. But that don't bring peace. We could sit out here on a beautiful day and the wind's not blowing and everything, and we could get something similar to peace out here. And we could be sitting down and be talking about the Lord and be just a beautiful anointing and presence and charity and all these things. And we really feel a peace. And you say, man, that's peace. But you still at that point have never experienced what peace is. Peace, brethren, is when you're in the belly of hell and you got peace in your heart because you know that your God is with you. And in you and through you and will deliver you. Peace is when you're in harm's way in such a way that it looks like there's absolutely no way that you would survive or live. But you've got a perfect peace. Amen. That surpasses all understanding of mankind. When the doctor gives you a few months to live or say you won't live. And you say, man, you're not the authority in this thing. And there's a peace in you that says everything's going to be all right. The ambulance driver said to my wife, because he saw peace on her. And he said, ma'am. And as they load me up out of an emergency room, taking me to another trauma center, he asked her, he said, do you have any idea what kind of condition your husband in? And she goes, oh, yes. But God spoke to me and said, be still and know that I'm God. And it gave her peace. While her husband, the doctors are saying he won't live through the night, and she had peace and she hang on to that. And faith, and hung on to that. You see, brethren, that's something that can only come by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen? Okay, here we are over in 1 Thessalonians. Can you give me a couple minutes here? Man, God's good, isn't he? I feel good, good, good. Yeah. I feel good down in my soul. Amen. God, I'm glad I can't sing. No, I'm not. You'll sing with me, won't you, John? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how you ought to walk. See, this is called discipleship. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, an exhortation, that you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. Ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me help you something, natural men for a second, carnal men for a moment. The Bible said there's a reward for all labor. You go out and you work hard, you're going to be rewarded for your hard work. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You can go to hell. But there's a reward for your labor. Now in America here, there's been an uncertain sound that's gone forth many years. Brother Charles, my elder, got a few years on me. He himself saw a lot of moves going through the churches. He saw the birthing of a charismatic move. He saw some of the early years of Pentecostal. He said he was in one of Brother William Branham's meetings. And puts him around for a while, and he's seen a lot of things. Seen a lot of modifications and changes. Brother Arthur Birch, y'all remember him? He came here, he was 90-some years old in the 90s. He said in World War I, he was being bombed in England by Zeppelin blimps. And he talked about all these different moves that he saw through the churches. Here I am a few years younger than Brother Charles, and I'm talking about all the things that I've witnessed over the years. Brother Pete's getting up, and he can talk about a lot of things he witnessed over the years. The prosperity move, praise God. Oh, the introduction of the fivefold ministry back into the church. You know, no, this is apostle such and such, and this is prophet such and such. And the guy wasn't even born again, but I'm prophet, hallelujah. Never received the Holy Ghost. Oh, he spoke in tongues, he danced and all these things, but he never received the infilling of God's Spirit. He just, partakers of the rain running down on him. And boy, he would shout in the rain and dance in the rain, and people are so carnal that they don't have enough discernment to see that it's just the rain on a snake, and he's dancing in the rain. Amen? Praise God. Many of them in the churches, the ministers of Satan that have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness and light. Let me read verse 1 again. It says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So here where I was saying, and we're going to go right on, but I said people could prosper because there's reward for all labor. And you can receive blessings and blessings and blessings on this side and feel like God has given you these blessings. And you should feel that way because we're in a dispensation of grace. And he's blessing you and honoring you. But there's an uncertain sound in your wealth. There's an uncertain sound in your blessings. There's an uncertain sound in your prosperity because the blood's on the mercy seat and grace is with you. And boy, you're prospering. And you say, man, I'm prospering in Jesus. But one day you're going to stand before him. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity, depart from me. I tell you, it's a sad thing. Why? Because of blindness of heart. And it said, blind leaders of the blind. Now, brethren, do you think that every church around this town and around this country, around the United States and around it, has all got Holy Ghost men in it? If so, the Antichrist wouldn't be taking over the world. Amen. It's because there's been a great falling away. And you are the people in witnessing this great falling away. And people have fallen in love with themselves. And they've converted themselves into a form of godliness and denying the real true power of God. Amen. And we say, oh, you're talking about you Pentecostals. Say, oh, you're talking about the Baptists and the Methodists. I'm talking about you. God is going to burn the Pentecostals in hell a lot more than he is the regular people because they're supposed to have an understanding and a knowing, much more given, much more required. But the Pentecostal church is worse than any other denomination in the United States of America right now because they have more given to them and they turn it into a shout and a dance and a run and a little bit of speaking in tongues and hallelujah. And they go to church and the people are leaving, going out the door and they're lost on their way to hell and the preachers ain't crying out against sin. And they're going to go watch ball games with them and go the football shows and all the different junk with them, and they're all going to hell because the preachers quit preaching against sin. And they start despising you and hating you when you preach against sin in this day and hour. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. For you know, verse 2, what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. See, these men were imparting. These ministers and brethren, they were imparting gifts, imparting doctrines, and parting understandings in the people, and they required it of them. You see, discipleship. I tell you, we're in a snowflake day and hour. You need to watch after your children and your kids, my friend. You need to watch after everybody. You teachers that are teaching, you need to train these kids to endure hardship. Even when they're right and somebody accuses them of being wrong. You need to teach them, hey, gird up your loins, take a little bit of suffering. But we're building snowflakes that can't take any correction, any reproof. We try to hire men today and try to work them. And you give them a little reproof and they get all out of whack and a little snowflake. And they're going to melt down. A man needs to know how to take some reproof and some rebuke. An employee, I'm talking about forget God for a moment. Well, you know I'm not telling you, but I'm talking about I'm removing it from the spiritual aspect. And talking about a natural man, you go to work, you might have a boss wear you out. And quit making excuses to them and justifying everything that you're doing wrong and you got an excuse for it. Well, you know, it's because the person over here, they didn't do their job last shift. And it would have been, forget about what that person didn't do. You got the responsibility to make it right. That's why they hired you. I remember when I was in management training, how to work people and stuff. And they said they always want to take the dirty monkey and they want to put it back on your back when you're in management. And I say, Brother Pete, I'm the manager of the restaurant. You're taking care of the salad bar tonight.
Well, you know, these people are sloppy. Man, I had it looking good, and in about 2 minutes, man, it looked like 17 hogs went through there. You know?
Hey, the boss don't want to hear this. They said, I put you over that thing. Get it cleaned up, and let's get some fresh stuff on there. But we make excuses. Come on now. Are you with me, church? You said, what are we talking about salad bars for? We're supposed to be talking about a revelation. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you, I know the way men think. But they can't take correction and reproof. You need to start teaching your children that they can. Amen? I'm telling you, it's a dangerous time we're in. I listened to a carnal-minded news anchor woman. And she made a statement. She goes, you know, when I was in college, she said, you know, we would have debates and we'd have people that disagreed with us and we would debate it in an open segment of things. But nowadays, there's no debating. They won't do debating at all. And you Christians, you're so easily offended. Well, you don't believe like me? God, what's wrong with you? You didn't believe like Jesus when he found you. You didn't talk like Jesus when he brought you in. He didn't walk like him, talk like him, look like him, smell like him, nothing. But he loved you and embraced you and brought you in and started teaching you. Amen. And he used a man of God to help you. And a man of God reached down in your stench and helps you, but then yet you don't have enough love to do the same thing. Church, come on, man. God's going to make us. He's going to require it of you. So here's an exhortation. It says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Got a pretty good requirement right there of you. Is that right? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. How many people have been robbed by people in church with you? I'm sure I'm not the only one. How many have been robbed by pastors? I had my heart broken early years of Christianity. I really did. Had pastors just right out lie to me and cheat me. Little Rob went through some things here not long back. He didn't expect his pastor to lie to him. And didn't expect his pastor to rob the local lumber yard for whatever, a couple grand. Is that what it was? Didn't expect that. Breaks your heart. Some people get so disappointed and so discouraged they quit God. Well, if this is what serving God is, I want no part of that. Yeah, this is what serving God is. Thieving dog pastors. This is part of serving God. We're going to be dealing with them. We're going to be face to face with them. We're going to be dealing with all kinds of devils and principalities and powers. We're called and put like little sheep out there to the wolves. That's what the Bible says. But you're such a stinking snowflake that I'm not going to get my hands dirty. And oh, they offended me. Come on, man, please. Brethren, let's gird up. We can't be swayed by the social media and by the way the people of this world think. Brethren, there's a difference. I used this elder brother Lackey right here. And I said, man, he knows that there was a day that men expected to be men. I had a father tell me not long back when I was leaning on his son. He goes, it ain't his responsibility. And I said, wait, I differ with you. Let me tell you something. There was some days back when dads got killed on farms trying to farm, or their heart failed, or maybe they went off to World War I or World War II and got killed in the war and left a mama at home with a farm with four or five boys or four or five children. And sometimes that 15-year-old boy, that 14-year-old boy said, hey, I got to get up to the plate, because they didn't have welfare. They didn't have that kind of junk. And now there's a 14-year-old boy getting up before daylight out working on a farm to feed his little brothers and sisters, because they made men then. But nowadays, men don't know how to work. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to walk. They don't know how to talk. And here we find a minister exhorting them. Amen? All right, we're going to go on here just a moment. Let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Boy, I've seen the wrath of God come down on people for the kind of foolishness. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth. Now listen to this. This is something again that's just so laying right there on the surface. And it's like you're digging so deep to get a diamond, and you're walking by one laying on the surface. You're searching and digging. I think it was Brother Pete or Brother John the other day was talking about Brother George sharing a story of a man, I think it was up here in the Carolinas, wasn't it? And he had this big rock holding his door open. And one day somebody looked at it and said, you know what that is? And it was one of the biggest pieces of jade, I think. And the guy was holding the door open with this thing, and come to find out it was worth thousands upon thousands of dollars. He therefore that despiseth not man. So I'm saying there's something laying right here that is a nugget for you. And I know it's so simple, but you're not seeing him. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. See, when you got these things in your heart against another man, you never feel like you're doing it against God, do you? Come on now. Come on, be honest, church. You feel justified to hate somebody. You feel justified to be upset with them because you're so spiritual and so righteous and so good. But we got so many accounts in the Bible that this man goes before a king and he forgives him for hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and he walks out and chokes a man for $5 that owed him. That's you and I. But no, you'll never read the scriptures and put yourself in that category. But it's what lays in the members of your first birth, and you're blind to it. You say, why do you have to make it so harsh, Brother Rob? Because you're going to hell. Because the way you think. And you think because of a little bit of understanding that you have, that God's just going to wink on all your failures. Why are you a disciple? Why are you being disciplined? Why are you learning to suffer the wrong? Why are you learning to go the extra mile? Why are you told to do these things? Because it's not in your nature of your first birth. And it's a spirit walk. We walk in the spirit. We led by the spirit. We don't look at the natural things, the carnal things that are seen. We look beyond the veil into the invisible dimension, and we see the things that are not. And this is why these kind of things are so simple, laying on the surface, that we walk by them. And we want some deep mystery to dig down in and get a real nut. And there's things laying on the surface that you're tripping over that could change your life and bring blessings and prosperity to you. So he therefore that despiseth not man. Unless God gives you this, you'll never receive it. I got men sitting right now rejecting this. Thus saith the Lord. Right now in my presence. I got men rejecting this right this second. And it breaks my heart. Because they're so carnal and so conceited in their own self. And it tears me out of the frame. Because I'm pouring my heart out. I've done this with a woman right here in this church. I'm pouring my heart out. And I was going and going, and God cut her off right in my presence. And said, I'm done. She's over. She will never find repentance. Ever. I've had that happen more than once, and that kills me. I don't look at them as a failure. I look at me as a failure. God, why didn't you give me the ability to reach them? Why didn't you give me the wisdom and the revelation that I could penetrate their heart and their spirit? Amen? It's because you listen through another interceptor of carnality. You listen through an interceptor of self-will. You listen through a polished mind of intellect instead of through the mind of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the Lord. And while you're looking for something deep, there's something being presented that is so simple, but it's hid from the wise and the prudent. He therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But it's touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, we read the scriptures and we say, you know, we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. But as we read right here in some of these exhortations, we're being challenged. Do we really love the brethren? How easy can we put them out? How easy can we despise them? How easy can we hate them? How easy can we break fellowship with them and want nothing to do with them? But then yet you wanted God to be long-suffering with you. You want to be merciful to you and kind to you. And you could have terrible thoughts, way worse than what this man has done, and you could just easily cut him off in your mind? Come on. Brethren, please help us, Jesus. We've got to come into the mind of Christ. Amen? But it's touching brother love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do toward all brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Amen. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded. Boy, pretty simple stuff there. But why is it so overlooked? That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you should lack nothing. Amen? Leviticus 19, verse 18. I'm just going to read it. It says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We're falling short, brethren. How many of you could look at your fellow brethren and tell them you love them as yourself? And I watch your lives. I watch my own. And I find out how selfish we are, of what we're always looking for ourselves and what's good for me and my house. But then yet, so if I love myself this much to be an entrepreneur, to take care of my home, take care of my family, to take care and do all these things and keep it all in order, and I can't love my brother like that, then I'm lacking. Whew, it's getting quiet in here. You see, we overlook some of the things that bring the revelation. You see, the revelation of Jesus Christ is you walking in the hope of glory and showing Christ in the earth. And he loves them that despise him. He loves them that hate them. He loves them that are taking up stones to put them to death. And he says, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Is that in my heart? Is that in my life? Is that in my spirit? Or is it just a polished mind? Just a thing like, oh yeah, praise God, preacher, good sermon, man, hallelujah. Let's go to the restaurant. Amen? Brethren, there's something that has to be changed here. Something that has to be transformed. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. For I am the Lord. Matthew 22:39, he says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Simple exhortations. Boy, the Lord was speaking, man, saying some mighty things. Amen? It says, a new commandment I gave unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love you, Brother Melvin? Think about it. He loved you when you was a dog, my friend. He loved you when you was in prison and the world would have said, man, just destroy him. But he loved him. Amen? Amen. Brother Whitlow, he loved you when you was rolling in the puke and the vomit in your drunken, ignorant state. Amen? He loved me, brethren, when I was a businessman enough to pull me out of that world that had a hold of you. It's harder to get delivered from being a businessman than it is a heroin addict. You say, oh, you're going to put yourself up there at this great thing, ain't you, Brother Rob? No, he's the great thing. I said, he delivered me. He drawed me out. He called me out. Amen? He was so kind to Jonah that he had the people coming up together to throw him overboard. That was mercy and that was love. He might be so kind to you that he strips all your possessions away from you and just rips you down to the bottom where you have no place to look but up towards him. That's mercy. That's love. That's compassion. I watched my uncle, a good man, hardworking man. I mean, this man, brother, he got blown up in World War II. He was sweeping a minefield. At one time, he got blown up in a Jeep. And it threw him out of the Jeep and busted him all up. He got healed up and went right back to fighting. He was in the midst of it. He was in the real, true battle. A real soldier. He wasn't on R&R. He was fighting. He's sweeping a minefield and a hog ran across this thing. Two men, one on his right, one on his left. And he had the thing sweeping. Killed both the men on both sides of him. When the hog come across, stepped on a mine and it blew the casing right into his stomach. Lost half of his stomach. Lost his spleen. Lost one complete lung and half of another one. Full of scrap metal and metal. And you know what? He didn't get one benefit from the military. He didn't ask. When he got home, he went to work. And he worked hard. The man was a builder and building homes. And I mean, he worked hard. That was a man. But he was on his way to hell. He didn't know Jesus. And God loved him so much and was so merciful to him that he smit him with cancer. And it went into his bone as he suffered in agony. His own family wouldn't even go down to the... When they put him in an ambulance, they hauled him off 70 or 80, 100 miles from home to take him to a hospital. Not even none of his children or his wife went with him. And Brother Melvin, he was a cracker. And you know what? A little black nurse, full of God's spirit, stayed on her knees by his bed because they didn't even think he'd make it through the night. And stayed on her knees praying with him and encouraging him and talking to him. You see, that's how much God loves us. You understand that? That's the love that he had for that man to allow him to go through those things. But then yet we can't have enough love for our fellow brethren and our neighbor and we call ourselves a Christian. And we want God to be merciful to me and long-suffering to me. He who shows mercy receives mercy. But we don't show mercy, but we expect it. Because we get too self-righteous. Brethren, we preach about snowflakes and we don't become them. We get so sensitive. So easily offended. Brethren, where's the endurance? I don't promote sports, man, at all. But when I was a child, I played sports. And I could remember a kid get up there to the bat and he touches it down on the plate, boy, and he wiggles, you know. Brother John could show us how that works. John's got that. He really got it down. But they get up there and some guy back there, you know, people will taunt you and try to get you get your mind off what you're doing in a sport game. And they'll say insulting things. I've seen guys get mad and go off running in the bleachers. I'm not confessing. You know, I have been thrown out of a game or two. But you know what I'm saying? They would be taunted. And sometimes the devil's going to do that to you. And he's going to use somebody. Are you that lame to let it stir you up? If somebody yields over to Satan, Jesus said to Peter, an apostle, he said, get you behind me, Satan. Why? Because the same thing that I would have been doing and the same thing that you would have been doing. Some know. Some say, ah, hey, go ahead and go die. It's all right with me. I'm going back fishing. Peter loved him, and he said, no, I'm not going to let this happen. He got rebuked for that. Savored the thing of the flesh. Sometimes you savor the things of your livelihood. your businesses and your flesh. Amen. Come on, church. And you favor those things, savor those things. And God's saying, get you behind me, Satan. Come on. When he's got another plan for us. Another plan. Brethren, we want to be soul winners is what we want. Amen. I want to be that soul winner. Amen. We need to be soul winners. Amen. The Lord gave us a commandment, John 15. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. The scripture I read just a moment ago, the same it said in 13. It says that a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also have loved one another. Now we think we know what love is. Amen, but we've watered down the word love so much, we as Americans. I say, Brother Charles, what you doing tomorrow? Let's go over to Taco Bell. And he says, man, I love Taco Bell, man. Well, I tell you, them burrito supremes are pretty good. Amen. Man, I love my new car. I love this place. Can I compare that love of a car or a wife or a son or a grandchild to the love of God? Can you? No, hope not. So there's another love that he has shown us. The kindest, the greatest, the most revealing act of love was on Calvary. And it was a man beaten beyond recognition. And we saw the love on him while they're beating him and nailing him to a tree. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now there's an act of love. Was he a snowflake? Nothing near, was he? And where's our love, one for another? And if we're having trouble, he said, the kind of love that he wants us to have for each other is the kind of love he had for us. But we've sufficed in a carnal way a love that we think we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, because we have allowed Satan to water down what real love is. Love is when you lay your life down one for another. But now we get offended one with another so easy. If Brother Melvin just doesn't say exactly what I want him to say, I'm done with you. Come on now. And we get so easily offended. But then yet we have done such the grossest, grotesque violations to God. In our carnal minds, our carnal thinking, in our carnal ways. But you judge everything after your ideology and your theology of your own theology, not his. And we violate him. We violate our God. We violate our Lord. Brethren, I'm telling you, we do it. You know, we're too busy looking at the other guy and we think he's violating worse than we are, so we're okay. But as I tell you, I got people that would rejoice if they got a report I'm going to hell. But let me tell you something. If I go to hell, doesn't make you right. If God puts me in hell, just remember I said this. He's a just God, Brother John. He's a righteous, just God. And you know why I say that? Because that's where I deserve to be. And that's where you deserve to be. And if you ain't going to find yourself there, it isn't because of your great works. It's because of his mercy and kindness. But through his mercy and kindness, he's saying, this is what I've done for you. I expect you to do that for them. The Bible said, put the bread down and water, see if it returns. So he's doing that. He put it out to you and showed you love and mercy and compassion and long-suffering and kindness and gentleness. He went the extra mile with me. Did he with you? Did everybody just submit right when they heard the call? Did everybody just submit? Man, I ran for years, but he was patient with me. He didn't give up. He didn't. You know, sometimes people will fight me, and they think they're fighting me, but they're bucking against the Spirit of God. And I've got this perfect peace about it. I say, okay, well, you're kicking against the pricks, and you're just bucking. You're not bucking me. The Bible said when you despise me, you're despising him. Didn't you all just read that? When you despise me, he said, you're not despising man. You're despising God. That's a revelation right there. Come on, man. And you know why I know you don't have that revelation? you're too easily despised people. And if you really had that revelation, thinking that if you despise Andy Beachy or Ed Rasico or Sister Irene, amen, or if you despise Brother Bo Frady or Brother Chapman or Brother Melvin, you're despising God. Come on, do we think that way? We know we don't, brethren. But it's so simple. It's written right there in the Word. Is the Word of God true? Yes, the Bible said, let His Word be true and every man be a liar. But we just take out of the Word what we want. Well, you know, I said the sinner's prayer. You know, praise God, I've done this, I've done that. You know, hallelujah, praise God for you. But brethren, God's got an expectation of you. You have expectations. If you're any kind of a man or woman or child or whatever at all, you got expectations. I have expectations of the Word to fulfill itself. In other words, I follow the Word, I walk in the Word, and I expect the results of the Word. And I get them by following the Word, submitting to the Word, yielding to the Word. Sometimes it hurts to yield to the Word. Do you think every time God asks you to do something that it's going to feel good? Going to put you up in the lights? Like I said, if you draw nigh unto Him, He'll put you up there, up on that cross. Amen. Where you're hated and despised. And you better have a smile on your face. But can you do that? Brethren, God's got expectations of us. Brethren, there used to be a lot of people in one mind and one accord called the church. They were winning the world over. They were going around the world in evangelistic ways, bringing the gospel because it's all in one mind. Where's them people at? Where's it at, my friends? Come on. Brother Charles, I listened to him. He'd been traveling the world, going in other countries. He's not shipwrecked in his faith, but it gets hard, doesn't it, brother? You get out there and you're loving them and supporting them, and then they're frolicking. We went and started building missions in Mexico. We bought equipment and things, and we watched them squander it. We started working in the Philippines. We watched them squander, and they're just more money, more money. This ain't a racial statement, but in many of the other countries, when they come, when we show up over there as being Americans, they don't see us as Americans. They see us as wallets. Is that why you backed off? Man, I'm looking and watching and I'm listening. Man, I'm ready to go in a second, my friend. That fast, I'm ready to go. But brethren, I can go. Man, I've got opportunities. I could be in Mexico. I could be in Africa. I could be in the Philippines. I could have me an appointment set tomorrow. But what is it if it ain't somebody in like mind there to take the people and love them and teach them and impart into them the mind of God instead of just being religious? I can open up the doors with many groups, many people. I know what moves them and what thrills them. I know how to thrill an apostolic, and I know how to thrill a Baptist. I know what turns them on. I know what lights their fire. I know what makes them feel like you're the elect. Come on. But there's something that goes beyond that. It's called discernment of the Spirit. And these men meet together. And they go through the motions. I got a letter today. My wife said, did you see this letter? Inmate I invested in, Brother Melvin. Invested and helped him. Supported him. Loved him and helped him, supported him. Many. Get out and go back like a dog to the vomit. So many. Go back like a dog to the vomit. Brother Charles here remembers Brother Durrell. Sit right here on the front. You remember him. He told me, hey, I got a calling in my life. I'm looking for it, and I seen the anointing in his life. And there was a calling there. But the Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. He hadn't been chosen yet. But I was, as a pastor, trying to help him. But he had more love for the world. He wants to go out and start sleeping around. And then when you start doing those kind of things, what happens? Condemnation comes. And when condemnation comes, my friend, you know what happens? It kills faith. And then you ain't got enough faith in your heart to fight the good fight of faith. And then all of a sudden, the prince of darkness is pounding down on you, and you're sucked right back in, and you're the dog going back to the vomit. Come on now. But this inmate says, I've written you numerous letters. He got out. Got him a good job. God was blessing him. Trying to help him, bless him. His family wanted nothing to do with him, Brother Melvin. We've heard that case many times. And we helped him and loved him. supported him. He gets out. I'm talking with him. He's got all the right things to say, polished. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, man. Got this revelation doctrine. I've listened to probably 2,000 sermons while I was locked up. Man, let me tell you this, what Brother George Pike said. Let me tell you this. Gets out, gets him a job. Boy, they recognize some leadership abilities in him. And then so they give him a company truck. And he's working, doing well. Oh, his probation officer found favor with him, really liked him. Boy, this guy's different and working. Got him a girlfriend. Her brother was a pastor. I can't sit in his church. I got too much revelation. That old Baptist boy could have helped the whoremongering dog out. So the next thing, he's shacked up with her. Oh, they're going to get married, but they're shacked up. But, well, we're in love. We're going to get married, you know. We're going to make it right, you know. I'd be okay to drink a little beer. That's cool. You know, hey, man, praise God. We're the sons of God. Hallelujah. Man, we can't sin. Give me a beer, but it's okay. We got to keep it in moderation. Man, don't you tell me, man, I've got this thing down. Here's a little liquor and then a little pot. And then he was right back, messed up on the drugs. Had a good job in management working for a company. So all of a sudden, he wasn't making enough to support his drug habit. So now he started stealing from his boss. The boss is on his heels. They took his vehicle away, but the woman, he was still conning her. So she helps him and goes down and buys him a truck. Boy, I tell you how con men work, man. So then he goes down and he takes this truck, supposed to marry this girl, and the girl fell in love with him. You know, women fall in love with dogs, man. You know that? Oh, they got the right things to say, man. Good looking kid. Got all the right things to say. Took this little girl off her feet. A young lady. Oh, she owned a nice home. I think she was a widow. This guy was not too far from my age, and the woman was not too far from my age. He violates her. She falls in love with him. He starts robbing and cheating from her, stealing stuff out of her home. Then she steals this truck that was in her name while she was trying to help him and steals it. And then got the police after him in 3 different states. This was out of prison for 6 months. And all this happened. Guess where he's back? He's back in prison. And he writes me a letter rebuking me because I won't answer him. Man, I'm a son of God. Let me tell you something, man. I know who I am in Christ. God loves me. I know where I'm at. God have mercy. I may restore fellowship with him, Brother Charles, because I'm a merciful person. And I love people. I say, show mercy. But sometimes people need to know there's consequences for being a stinking reprobate dog. This is the problem with the preachers. They all just love them and forgive them and put them back behind the sacred desk. The whoremongering pastor back behind the sacred desk. Put his wife away. Put him back behind the sacred desk because God's merciful. No, that's a lie from hell. When that dog goes out there and commits adultery, yeah, he could find salvation and repentance with God, but he's got no business calling himself a preacher. He's a dog. You say, come on, preacher, God's forgiving. God will forgive a man. Yeah, he'll forgive him, but he won't restore him back to the fivefold ministry. When he's been walking in this thing and partaking of the world to come and goes back like that, man, you don't restore him. I just got done dealing with a preacher over this issue. I'm dealing with this stuff all the time. Well, you know, you just don't have no mercy. Well, let me tell you something. When the preacher takes off with his MC's wife and goes off into adultery, I'm supposed to just forgive him and just, you know, bring another, go over and preach for him, Brother Charles? I'm going to go over and encourage people to come out for he could have some more women he could defile? Man, God will burn my fields. I'm not going to bring somebody even set foot in that dog's church. Get that reprobate out from behind and let him find a place in the corner to repent, cry out to God, and ask God to forgive his wretched soul. And he can find salvation. But he violated the most holy, godly office there is. You see, I had a man talking to me about this the other day. And he's a businessman. Okay, so we know the business. But let me tell you how business people are smarter sometimes than the children of God. And they shouldn't be that way. But Randy's a businessman. He knows there's some men he could refer and refer him over here and say, yes, sir, I can't get to your job, but look, I know a guy. Man, he'll do you right. He'll get the job done. He's honest. He's not going to take advantage of you. So Andy sends a guy over there to this guy's house, does him a good job. Well, then Andy sends this guy over to the guy's house, and the people call him and said, hey, he robbed me. The dude stole my stuff out of my garage. Oh, well, I'm merciful and forgiving. You know, and I'm going to send him out to another job. I know how businessmen think. Because now he's reproached him and his business. Is this true? Am I thinking like stupid or something? So now a businessman says, I can't refer this guy no more because he reproached me. He reproached my name. Okay, so now I'm a preacher. And I say, come on, church. We're going to go over to Brother Such a Church. We're going to have a good time. He's in revival meeting. And we go and we're having a great revival with him. People start coming and they're saying, hey, there's something going on over there. People start coming. And now the guy, the head of the church, the pastor, violates a woman that's married to one that is right there, would be almost considered like an associate with him. And then you want me to say that I got forgiveness and keep bringing people to that church? Does that make me stupid? But this is what they do out there. And this is why the condition of the organized church out there is so bad. Because there's no consequences. There was a church right down here in town next door to Brother Andy's business down there. And this woman went off and had an affair with the song leader. You know what she did? She left her husband and he left his wife and they got married. And guess what they did? They started a church. And most of the people, they split another church and they followed them right over there. You know why they followed them over there? Because they're a bunch of filthy dogs. And if you're going to sin under a perverted preacher, you're a dog with him. The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. Brethren, I believe in the mercies of God. But when a man violates the most holy office there is, the consequences are he needs to step down and they need to put somebody in there that's got the love of God and the anointing of the Lord in their life and going to walk in decency and godliness. But when there's no consequences, and they just keep on going like Swagger did. And they just keep on going like many around this town have. And there's no consequences for it. So then the preachers that they're bringing up underneath them, they see, hey, you know, hey, we get busted, we just cry a little bit and repent. That ain't repentance, number one. But if they knew that they would be removed from this most holy office, then they would guard over it with a respect and a love. Brethren, they would remove presidents out of office for what these preachers are doing today. And I'm going to tell you something. A pastor is a much higher, greater calling than a president of a country any day, any time. Amen. It is something holy and righteous and virtuous and godly. And when you go robbing people and cheating people, we read tonight what God expects of his people. Amen. But brethren, we're in a dark day and a dark time. People don't think properly. So when I told this businessman the other day, I said, look, are you going to refer this guy to business? Because he went over and robbed from your customer? So you're a businessman, you say, hey, I'm going to send this guy over to do your job for you. He's going to lay your tile. He's going to do your plumbing. He's going to paint your house, whatever it is. And then I get a report back from my customer that why he was out working and I sent a man to his house that he violated his wife and had relations with his wife. Then you're going to expect me to send him over to do another job? That'd make me a dog, wouldn't it? Then why in the world do you keep on going to these churches that they're violating humanity and people and God's word? That should be much even more holy and more godly and more respected. But you see, we're Americans. And they mock and just laugh at God and his word. America's disgraced his name. We call ourselves Americans. We call ourselves Christians and we can't even say his name in our schools. And they're wanting to take God off of the finances and the money. Come on, church, what's going on in this land you live in? Are you getting rocked to sleep in this thing? Are you becoming one of these lukewarm Americans? Is that what you're doing? Come on, church. I tell you, I said, as simple as this is, we're not applying it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Brother Charles, put that up there to help close this part out. Let's stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. We can get so rocked to sleep, I might say, or so carnal, I could say, or so lascivious, I could say, that we could have these things happening all around us or right in our midst and not even see it. I tell people all the time, I observe and I observe and I observe and I watch and I look and I listen. And I observe and I watch and I listen. And I observe and I watch and I listen. And I apply the word and I look at the word and I watch the word. And the word's right every time. It's yea and amen. And I observe some more and I watch and I listen. And I've observed the blindness of heart. And I had to recognize it first in myself, Brother Andy, before I could really understand it. Because that's where the beginning of revelation is going to come forth. Because I got to die first before he could live. Amen. And if I can't, as Rob Coons, die, I can't expect Christ to live. Because we both can't dwell in the same tabernacle. Amen. One's got to die that the other one could live. That's a revelation. The son of perdition must be revealed before Christ could appear. So while you're waiting for him to appear in the clouds and waiting for the son of perdition to reveal himself over in the Middle East, you've missed the revelation of that whole scripture. You see, Brother Rob Coons in my first birth is the son of perdition. And I had to expose this guy and get him out of the way. And now Christ could appear in glory because he gave us his glory. We are the glory of the Lord. Amen. Okay? Not in our first birth, Brother Ed. This is in this new creature in Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've diminished it down to some kind of head knowledge. The revelation, the revealing is Christ in the earth, my friend. And this is why I said, when I despise John Whitlow, I despise God. We just read it. When I despise my son Robert, I despise God. And you say, well, not if he's a heathen. Well, are you walking in discernment enough that he loved you before the world ever was? And he put your name in the book of life and he treated you like a son of God when you were stumbling in your vomit and your puke. And this is the way we love people. We love them into the kingdom, brother. We don't rebuke them into the kingdom. We love them into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. And sometimes they have to be corrected. A little child, you swat it on the hand. You don't punch it in the face when it touches the knickknacks. Come on, man. We got to get our spirit right before we could help somebody. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's sing a song. Brother Charles, I'm going to be coordinating with you pretty directly. Get you come up over here and let you straighten me out a little bit. Amen. I need help, brethren. I appreciate elder brothers in the Lord. I appreciate the little brothers in the Lord. I appreciate the children of God. Amen. 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 Well, you got people around you who love you. They want to help you. Amen. You're in the right place. You're on the right road, right trail. So everything's going well. We can pray that these things that you say, these thoughts, we can pray that when you see them and recognize them and they're not pleasing to God, those are the ones we put down. And then we start thanking on him. Thanking on his mind, his world, his ways. Amen. And we start loving people and helping people. And God will raise you up and bless you. That's what he's doing already. He's blessing you. Amen. It's an honor to have you as part of our brotherhood. Father God, I thank you for this, my brother. I thank you, Lord God, for what you see, Lord God, the potentials of a spirit-filled man are unlimited, Lord God. And Father, as he's young, being trained and learning, becoming a young man, businessman, a young Christian. Father, I see such beautiful things for him in your mind, in your will, in your word. And Father, as his heart's crying out, he wants to be in the obedience to you and your word. He doesn't want to despise and to hate people. That's what he come forward for. He said he finds sometimes despising people in his heart. Father, I thank you that he could, at a young age, could start to see this and see that it's the enemy. And Father, I thank you because it's very difficult for a young man to see that in his heart, not knowing their own heart. Father, I'm thankful for his words, but I'm thankful for you that you're going to help him to be an overcomer, to be a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Father, let this brotherhood help him as he helps them, as they unify together and walk together, that they can encourage one another to stay and to be in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. What's up, man? Amen. Things we pray for are attainable. Things we ask for are ours. But we have to push. We have to press. I said Wednesday night, sometimes we're lazy Christians. We're going to walk into a church and the preacher's going to pray and this thing's just going to come to me and it's all done. But a lot of times, the things, we got to fight for them. You know, when you think about the things precious to men, diamonds, the oil in the earth, the gold. You know how much time men spend looking for it and mining for it? There's millions of dollars spent digging in earth looking for something that sometimes they never find. Amen? And the thing is there's many things that are hid right below the surface of the word. And we got to dig in there just a little bit. And we hear the ministers pouring out their heart and it's all laid out the map. And then we got to get the things out of the way. Sometimes we got to move some of that old stuff out of the way, and then all of a sudden that vein is there. Amen. Amen. You heard a diamond in the rough. That's each and every one of us. And we need to sit before the master and let him take and start chiseling some of that hardness, some of them old things out of the way, and start molding and crafting and shaping. We say on the potter's wheel, well, we're an old hunk of clay. Ain't worth nothing, but the master could spin it into something as a vessel of honor, something that's priceless. Amen. But we got to be on the master's will for that. And some of us jump off too soon. You know, an old thing that ain't done right, that old master will smack that thing back down and he'll squish it back into a blob and he'll start reworking on it. Allow the Lord to craft you and mold you to be what he wants you to be. Amen. Father, I thank you for this, my brother, as he's standing in for his mother and father-in-law and his wife and children that aren't feeling well. But he said he wants charity, Lord God, in his life. He wants it to be the preeminent thing in his life and to move him and lead him. Father, I thank you for this, my brother. I thank you, Lord God, that he's subjected himself to the chastening and the counsel of headship in this church. And Father, we know that when a man could recognize his wrongs and make the adaptations and the changes necessary, that you could repair and restore what the palmer and the canker has taken and robbed. Father, help him. Lord, that he won't revert back to the things that are displeasing unto you. Lead him and direct him and guide him. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and answer his prayers and his petitions, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Love you, man. Hallelujah. Mose la mati shatra sakila talamokositi. Mendele mati shandalamokosi. Praise the Lord. praise you, Lord Jesus. How you doing, little sister? Say again. Say a little louder. Man, that's not a problem. Look at me. That's not a problem for God. Amen. You hear me? It's not a problem. Amen. You know how you get rid of anxiety? Look at me. When it comes around, look at it. Look, you got to look it in the face. You can't hide from it. Last night you tried to hide from it. You want to pull your head under a blanket and hide from it. That ain't the way we get rid of it. It looks at you then and says, I got you whipped. And it will perplex you and vex you. Now listen to the pastor here. Look at me. I love you. I'm telling you how to conquer this thing. Okay? Are you listening? You look it right back in the eye. And you say, you know what? You ain't got no power or dominion over me. Peace, be still. God allows things to happen around us for we can make the alterations and changes. That thing, all you had to do is look at it just like that, and it's gone. It goes away that fast. But you look at it. Don't yield to it. Don't submit to it. Who lied to you and told you had anxiety problems? Somebody lied to you. The devil done it. I know who done it. It was the devil. He lied to you. You ain't got no anxiety problems. And you're asking this preacher to pray for you with anxiety problems? You ain't got no anxiety. Look at me. You ain't got no anxiety problems. Do you believe the word? Okay. Do you believe the preacher? Amen. You don't have no anxiety problem. You're God's child. And he loves you. And all this shaking and all this smoke and fluff and all this junk going on, right? It's all vanity. God is molding a beautiful little young lady in Christ right here. Going to bless you beyond what you could even dream. Amen. Your mama too. Your brothers. Amen. I'm not sure about your sister Ashley. I mean, she's Twitter-pated right now. God can't even talk to her. But we'll wait until she gets past that. We'll talk about her later. But I'm talking about you. Oh, she's okay? Okay. See, she doesn't have no anxiety problems. Do y'all believe that? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that it's vanity and a lie. And I rebuke it in Jesus Christ's name. And I say, I call it not. And Lord God, as this thing tries to come back around this young lady, Father, let her look at, as her pastor has told her, look it right in the face and say, you're nothing but a lie. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Bless her. Strengthen her. Grant the desires of her heart, Lord God, to her. Let her see her family that are lost. Come to the kingdom and repent. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm not sure of the reports, but this little sister's daddy, I believe, is possibly going into drug rehab. Be in prayer. It's not his first go around with it. Let's pray that maybe this time he can get set free. Amen. And get delivered. I tell you what, I've seen drugs take good men and destroy them. I've seen alcohol take wonderful people, Brother Charles, good, strong businessmen, and destroy their businesses from alcohol. Dealing with a brother in prison right now. He's been in for 15 years. Businessman, had a couple crews, couple trucks going, doing well for himself. Started messing around with dope, got addicted, lost his business. His wife left him, took his two children. She didn't want to be married to a dope addict. Took his two children. He lost his business, lost his wife, lost his home. Just about went into the streets. He decided that he had to get money for his drug habit. Went over to a guy that he knew that was an Army veteran. Didn't think he was home when he went into his house to steal from him. Dark. Muzzle flash. Muzzle flash started going off. His vet was shooting at him. He returned fire in the dark and killed this man, about 75-year-old man. He went to jail. The parole board's talking about possibly paroling him, and he said, you know what, Brother Rom? I don't want out. He said, if it's going to cause that family any more pain that I already put them in from killing their grandfather and father, he said, if I'm going to cause them any more pain, I'd just soon stay in prison. The man really found God in there, found repentance with God. Decent guy, man, I'm telling you. I love this guy, Brother Jeff. He is a fine, wonderful brother. Stable, level. No foolishness, no fluff. No trying to be something that he's not. Humble, receiving this message. You see, that's a man that God will find because he's not looking for something good for him. I talked to a prisoner, all they could think about, I got to get out, I got to get out, I got to get out. Please help me, give me money. I need an attorney, spend more money. You know, sell some dope, sell this and that. Give me money, give me money, give me money. This man said, I don't want out. I've done violated enough people. This family. The families forgave him. When they go and read the articles about when he was in trial, they said they called him something, the weeping something. They said he sat and bawled and cried through the whole trial because he knew that he violated and took a life. See, God could take a man like that and restore him. Amen. And give him what the palmer and the canker has taken away, man. That's the kind of business God's in, and that's a real brother. I got men I deal with that's never been in trouble, never been in jail, never been in no problems, never drank and never done, and they ain't got nothing like a spirit like that guy does. Because they're so religious and so polished, they're a stench in the nostrils of God. And that man been down in the bottom and knows it, but God's pulling him out and bringing him to the top, amen. That's what God does. He's an awesome God. Amen, Brother Jeff. Yes, sir.
Just want to stand in for Brother Connor.
Yeah. He needs a brotherhood.
Amen.
He knows that. He says he's coming. Brother Jeff wants to stand in for Brother Conrad. Had him a little setback here, a little crash up. That's why we need a brotherhood. Man that went back on the dope and the drugs, he needed a brotherhood. Amen. You get out there and you're so religious, you don't need a brotherhood, you'll find you need a brotherhood. I need a brotherhood.
Yes.
Brother, I can't do this on my own. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this, my brother standing in. Father, as I heard Brother Conrad repenting and confessing. And Father, we know it's going to take a little more than that. Because you got great expectation of him. Father, give him the strength to bear the cross. To take the beating, Lord God, for his foolishness. Because we know, Father, that you chasten them that you love. And Lord God, as I see your judgment on him, as he wrecks his car, as he blows the engine in his truck, he loses his fiance, and nothing but wrath and judgment all around him. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you're still on the throne. But Father God, I'm asking you to give him the strength to bear the cross and let him know that there's a way out. And he's got to put his hand on the plow and not look back. And as he sees the fire and brimstone coming down on Sodom and Gomorrah, that he doesn't look back and he keeps pressing his way out of there. Help him in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, brethren, we don't pray polished prayers. We're real. I don't cover up sin. I don't cover up failure. We're real. And when you have a brother that does like these men, you approach the kingdom of God for them and you pray. Well, you know, we got to, you know, be a little careful. He should have been careful before he got into immorality. I love him, brethren, but this is what we do. We believe he's my brother and I love him. My love hasn't changed for him. He's disappointed God. He's disappointed himself. If we can't pick up a guy like this and help him, what are we doing?
Right.
What would this message mean tonight if we can't love this guy and bring him in here? Brother Jeff himself here, his mother comes here and she sees we have a welcome home party for him. He gets out of prison, 10 years in prison. And he comes here and says, man, you'd think this guy was some kind of a, you know, royalty or something. Having a big party and people singing and all these things. A dinner for him. I say, that's what we do for sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Peter got rebuked. He said, get you behind me, Satan. But look what God blessed him. Gave him the keys to the kingdom. And he says, get you behind me, Satan. Because there was a man that kept getting in the way there. That's what he was talking to. Amen. Satan is that door to your soul. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Also, Monterey.
Monterey.
Okay. She has fluid in her lungs, and if she gets in her lungs again, she'll get in trouble.
Amen.
In Austin, has fluid in her lungs, and every time she goes to the doctor, she gets a lot of pounds off.
Oh, yes. Okay, I know Sister Ann. I know you're talking about now. Yeah, they said they took all kinds of pounds off of her. I need to go visit that doctor. Give me your hands. This little sister's praying for three or four ladies there at the nursing home. This one, she said they take her in and get water off of her. And she told me she goes in every week or two. They do some kind of a thing. It's not dialysis, but they tap her some kind of way with a big needle, and they take literally 20, 30 pounds of water off each visit. And she's asking for prayer for this lady. Nice lady. She's real faithful coming to the church services there. Little sisters wanted to pray for her. And also she said Marguerite, I think.
Marjorie.
Another sister there. And the third one?
Hannah Hill.
Hannah Hill. Okay. Father, it's this little sister. As you've put those people on her heart, Lord, I thank you for that. She goes with her mom and dad to these nursing homes, but she sees people with needs. I thank you that you've put it in her heart, Lord God, to call these folks' name out. Father, hear this little saint's prayer, Lord God, and move for these people that she loves, Lord God. Oh, Father, help them and bless them, Lord God, and comfort them. And Father, when their day comes, that they're not going to be no longer in the suffering and you're going to take them home, Father, bless them. Let their crossing be easy, Lord God, that they could just slip right there into your presence, Lord God, to meet the reward that you've had in store for them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Brother Charles, if you'll dismiss us tonight. I love you all and appreciate you. Yes, ma'am.
My dad.
Yes. This little girl wants us to pray for her dad. Does any of your children want to pray for your fathers? Yes, this one does. We've been praying for her dad. Been praying for your dad too. Amen. These children got lost dads, Brother Charles. And they got enough understanding. We don't veil things. And we let little children know they need to be praying for moms and dads that are going to hell. And little children love their parents, and they'll stand in when nobody else wants to. So we don't ever want to hinder that. When you make children believe that their daddies are all right, and they see them in sin and dope and alcohol and lying and cheating and snorting and doing all these things, and you tell them they're okay, you're teaching the children it's okay to be a dog and a devil. You let them know that their mothers and their fathers are on their way to hell when they live that way, and then they can pray and know that there's consequences for sin. Amen? Well, you got to protect them, their children. Brother, we are protecting them. We're protecting them from sometimes their own flesh and blood that is there to devour them and destroy them, because it's an iniquity that's bound in the heart of children. And the Bible said the rod of correction will drive that spirit of foolishness far from the child. Amen. Amen. We love these children. We never want to hurt them, but they know how to pray and believe.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these little children. And Father, knowing that you're still winning souls, Lord God, and reaching down to the uttermost. And Father, as these men have failed you and failed their families and their children, and Lord God, I ask you to comfort them, and you be their Father, and fill their hearts with joy and love, Lord God. Father God, give them peace that surpasses all understanding, that they could look and see hope for these failed parents, that they could see hope and trust you, Lord God, because we know the only hope they have is in you. So, Father, let them keep petitioning your throne for the salvation of their parents. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Brother Charles.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Good to be back in Christian Tub and feeling better. Jesus. And have a voice. I had to, the Lord had to help me because I have meetings coming up. So praise God. We thank the Lord for the message tonight.
Amen.
And let us take heed to the message also. Must be trust right here. Right?
Amen.
Somebody here that we can trust and know without a doubt. They're the leader. Their life's an example of what we want to become and be.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for this message tonight. Behooves all of us. Lord, walk this race in righteousness and in holiness. Take heed to the scriptures, Lord, and live by them and have a prayer life.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.